Welcome to another edition, an episode of Feral and Fabulous. I have, as always, the most fabulous guest today. I have Rod Stewartson with Rod and Specs. And we were talking earlier about, we go back a long way. I don't even remember when it was exactly, but it has to be over 20 years.
Is it? I remember.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Do tell.
So I don't know what the day it was. Excuse me. But
I was in my kitchen when I talked to you the first time.
I don't remember that.
No.
But I remember meeting you when I first met you. You were partners with somebody in an office, first floor.
Oh, yes. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, an agent that I shared an office with.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, co-broker or...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And so I don't know what it was. We came in for something, but I distinctly remember meeting Kimberly Howe. You never forget that.
Oh. Well, I don't know about that.
And so, I mean, it's been over 20 something years. I've been doing this. September, it'll be 24 years.
Okay.
And so... It's been that long.
Okay. No, it's been a minute for sure. And I think that after we met initially, the first conversation that I ever had with you, we were talking about an inspection.
Okay.
And I was in my kitchen, which this is years ago. This is before, here's the thing. I've been married today for 15 years. It was BD.
Wow.
Yeah. It was BD.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So it was definitely longer ago than 15 years. Actually, we've known each other 16 years, so it would be like in that 20-year category. Yeah, so yeah. I remember that kitchen. And so one of the things that struck me was you were such a fabulous inspector and always have been, even from the very beginning, because
thank you
were so detail-oriented, but yet not in a annoying way. In other words, you know what I mean? You gave me the information in great detail, yet not in a way that was necessarily like scary, but just informational and very helpful. And you also were very good about kind of how you describe things that I felt like was very calming, even though there was something that maybe needed to be addressed.
Right.
But you dealt with it in a way that I felt like was very, very helpful. So that, I think, was kind of how we forged, you know, the partnership from all those years ago.
Yeah.
And I mean, fast forward to now, you've got a couple of people, you know, who I adore working for you. And of course, Derek Sari, who has been on board for, gosh, I don't, over 10 years, right?
Yeah. I think it's right at 10 years.
Yeah,
sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was thinking around that. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, your son, Tyler, who is a chip off the old block. So that's so cool.
Yeah.
And so
he's really doing well.
Yes. I mean, and so I literally, whenever I have a client, you're my go-to guy.
Well, thank you.
I mean, you're always who we first reach out and figure out who's available.
Right.
And the thing I can tell you is, obviously, you're amazing. But if you're not available, I am taking Derek or I am taking Tyler and I am not blinking. You know, I am just like, I am as confident in those guys because they have been under your tutelage for so long that I feel like you've probably imparted so much wisdom with, you know, to them over the years that they really know how to deliver in the same way you do.
Yep. I've worked very hard to put that training and that mindset into them look, this is how we do things. And they've been great.
Yeah.
They're just great additions to the team.
Absolutely. Sure. No, I wholeheartedly back you up on that. That's amazing. So I'm curious, and I don't think we've ever had this conversation. What led you to get into inspections in the first place? Because I don't think I know that story.
Tequila's giving me a little frog in the throat.
Well, and I'm going to admit to the audience, okay, because it's a Friday when we're shooting this, we involve the staff. And so we had a bunch of agents that I love dearly come in and do a toast. And we did a pre-episode toast.
Yeah.
And then we did another episode.
We did another episode toast.
So this could get very interesting today. So anyway, I'm just, you know, making it real.
Yep. Well, excuse the frog in my throat, but, I guess my backstory is right out of high school, I went in the Navy and was an aircraft maintainer on an aircraft carrier.
Okay.
And,
you're kind of Top Gun, man. I'd love to hear that.
You know
that's
what's
amazing.
Funny is I was in Miramar where Top Gun was filmed.
Are you kidding me?
It was right. I think I was there before. I was initially stationed in the Philippines for 3 years. And Top Gun, I think, came out when I was in the Philippines.
Oh, my gosh. I did not know that. That is incredible.
Yep.
I'm even more impressed now than I already was.
Yep. Miramar was the where everything was filmed down in San Diego. And so it's, I mean, that's a beautiful place down there as well. So anyway, I did my 3 years in the Philippines and ended up back in the States, in Washington State, and did a tour on the Carl Vinson, and we did two cruises out in the Indian Ocean. Ironically enough, the Straits of Hormuz that we're hearing about now.
Yes.
40 years ago, we were guarding the same Straits of Hormuz.
I did not know that.
There was an Iranian tanker, or I don't know what it was. They were blocking the Straits of Hormuz, the Iranians.
Yes.
And we were up there flying air support to keep the Straits of Hormuz open.
Oh, wow.
So we've been talking about this Straits for, 40 years.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I did my tour, did 6 years. I got out. Went to a airline in Oregon. I'm originally from Oregon.
Oh, I did not know that either.
And
go Ducks.
Go Ducks. Yeah, yeah. Actually, go Ducks, and actually go Aggies too.
Okay, there you go.
Because I've actually been here longer than I was in Oregon.
Okay, good to know. Okay.
Fun fact for today is 26 years ago today, Robert and I moved here from Oregon.
Oh, so congratulations to both you and Robin. Yep. That is amazing.
Yeah, 26 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So I always say I wasn't born here, but I got here as soon as I could.
As fast as you could. That's what I always say, too. I got here in the first grade.
Yep, so. I love Texas. And so anyway, I worked for this regional airline and moved up off of the mechanics floor into the more technical side.
Okay.
And there was an airplane, it was a German-built airplane, and it was, we were the launch customer for this new type of airplane.
Okay.
It was called a Dornier 328. And so...
Say that three times.
Yeah, Dornier. Dornier, very German. Very, very German.
I am German, so that's amazing.
And so we were the launch customer, and so when you're a launch customer, the manufacturer... So Dornier had always done military aircraft, and so German military aircraft. And so they were branching out into this passenger airplane, and it was their first go around with it.
Okay.
And so they relied a lot on our technical expertise to help develop this airplane.
Awesome.
And so there were select few of us in the airline that were the specialist.
Okay.
And so we helped develop this airplane and help launch it. So they delivered the airplane. We started using it. And the only global support or the only support center was in Germany.
Interesting.
Which is complete opposite time zones.
Yeah.
And when you run a scheduled airline, you've got to get answers. And so.
And like yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Because, you got to make that flight schedule.
Right. Right.
And nobody doesn't like a flight. They're not getting on an airplane because of whatever.
Yeah.
And so they decided that they were going, Dornier decided that they were going to open this global support center in the United States.
Okay.
And it just happened to be in San Antonio. They had purchased Fairchild Aviation, which was here at San Antonio forever.
Yeah.
And so they said, all right, well, we're going to bring everybody here. So they sucked all the talent out of the airline to run this global support center. And June 12th of 2000, can you imagine 2000? Remember Millennium?
Oh, I do.
We thought our computers were going to crap out.
No, I do.
Here we are. Look at it.
Exactly. Y2K. Yeah, no. I mean, we were all freaking out like, oh, my God. It's the end of the world. Right. And it was like nothing.
And it seemed like so long ago, but it seemed like yesterday.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
But so we moved here. I mean, it was the greatest job. I mean, they paid us way more money than they should have. We had so much time off. And we used to sit there and look at each other and go, this is too good to be true.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So 9/11 happened.
Yeah.
And all the money and all the airlines shut down. $1.6 billion went out the window, and we were on our own.
Yeah.
Well, since we had all that time, you know, at work, we would, you know, say, okay, well, you know, let's do something else.
Yeah.
And I had a buddy, and we started a solar screen company.
Yeah.
And we did solar screens for, I don't know, a year or so.
Okay.
And we're actually doing pretty well at it.
I'm not surprised.
That's a rough job trying to sell, you know, screens and installing them and all of those things.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I think in 2001, early 2001, home inspection was like Forbes number one or number two, you know, home business that you can do.
Yeah.
And we thought, well, you know, shoot, if we can work on airplanes and be technical on airplanes, you know,
why
this
not?
Home inspection thing would be a breeze.
Yeah.
And so we ended up just, you know, doing the courses, and we got our licenses.
Wow.
And so we were going to do home inspections on this when we had the time off from the aviation stuff.
Oh, wow.
And so I was prepared when I got laid off.
Yeah.
And I pretty much just moved right into the home inspection.
And what year was that?
So let's
and
see.
You, I think I also connected with you through Dennis Renfro.
Dennis Renfro, yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate over all the years to have many inspectors that have retired or got out of the business.
Yeah. Wasn't he like an underwater bomb expert or something like that?
I'm not sure what
Navy?
His background was.
Yeah, I think it was something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah, Dennis was a good guy.
Yeah.
But I've been very fortunate to get a lot of referrals from people that are retiring or getting out of the business or whatnot, and we've just made friendships. And
so, that's because you're the best. I mean, who wouldn't refer all their business to the best?
Well,
you know?
Thank you. We really try to be just like you said. We try to be fair and honest with everybody.
Yes.
Because let's face it, we're not always the most popular guy in the room.
No, you're not.
And so. You know, we always try to treat every house and every person with respect.
Yes.
But yet we still got a job to do.
Yes.
And it's just the facts, ma'am.
No, exactly.
Let's get the facts out there. But you also have to present it in a manner that is, I can't say non-threatening, because sometimes, you know, a seller's going to think maybe that we're threatening.
They're going to feel that.
Well, and we're calling their baby ugly.
I know. And that's never a popular position.
And
it's
nobody's,
just not.
Yeah, nobody's baby is perfect. they're not.
Exactly. Either is my earring.
And so, where were we going with this? Ugly baby.
You were talking about how you deliver the information inspection.
Yeah. So,
we
try to be fair and honest about everything and put it into perspective, because nothing's perfect. I mean, this building we're in is not perfect.
No.
You know, I'm sitting in the lobby and it's
by
like,
by any means.
I'm sitting in the lobby and it's like, that window's probably leaking over there. I can see those water stains on the bottom. And there's a little bit of dust around those vents. They may need to clean those.
I need to talk to our landlord.
They
about
might
that.
Need to clean those out a little bit. But
totally.
Anyway, so nothing is perfect. Nobody's perfect.
Right.
And what it is, it's about perspective.
Right.
And putting it into perspective, because there's a house and a, you know, the maintenance that needs to be done for everybody.
Yes.
And everybody is different.
Right.
And so you have to present that in a manner that
is palatable,
gives them the information.
Yes.
And, you know, if I need to be threatening, I mean, I can be threatening.
Sure.
And, you know, there are times when I've got a single 22-year-old lady with two babies, and she's trying to buy this piece of junk house on the river in New Braunfels, and it had mold everywhere. I can't say mold, microbial growth everywhere. And the AC was 1987 and the roof was shot, and this gal was just like, I just need a place for my babies.
Yeah.
And you know,
yeah,
you got to shoot them straight.
Yes.
You have to.
I'm gonna have to give you an example of exactly what you're talking about. This is years ago. I was buying a property. I'm not going to name the property.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm sure you probably remember it.
You've
anyway,
bought many properties,
yeah,
as a matter
that's
of fact.
That's true, and you've inspected all of them. So anyway, I was going to buy a property, and this was BD. So I you went out there, did the inspection, and you're like, don't buy it. And I'm like, but I love it. I think it could be this blah, blah, blah. So You said, don't buy it. And that's one of the things I love about you, is because you told me not to buy it. And I didn't listen. This is, I don't even know how many years ago, maybe 18, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I bought it anyway. And needless to say, I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I told you, you know that property you told me not to buy and I bought anyway? You're like, yeah, you were right. And you're like, I know.
Is that the rodent one?
Well, yes. It had, yes. Yeah. Yes, it had wrote. It had everything. Yeah. It was like a. It was like the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
It was like the black hole that people talk about. You know, where you keep putting your money into a black the money pit. That was that property. You know. So anyway,
but you definitely know that would have been okay for somebody.
Exactly.
It just wasn't okay for Kimberly.
No, exactly. And but you knew me at that time. We'd already been working together a while. I was a single mom.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I think you took that into consideration. You're like, yeah, you think you're going to do all this stuff, which I did, but it took a lot more out of me than I thought it was going to. And again, doing it by myself.
Yep.
And I think you could read the room and you could see, okay, is this a doable property? Absolutely. But you knew, it's like, okay, she's single, she's got kids, she's got all this stuff going on. This is probably not the best property for her to buy right now. And you were 100% right. But I bought it anyway, stubborn me, thinking I was, you know, whatever. And again, it turned out to be a great property. It's not that it wasn't a good property, but what it took to get it right was a lot more than what I had thought it was going to, which is what you were concerned about in the very first place.
Right.
So I do appreciate that, as I feel like you were very good at understanding the dynamics of a situation and then letting the consumer, the buyer, know, okay, these are the problems. And so do you have a tolerance for that or do you not have a tolerance for that?
Right.
Because like you said, just the facts, ma'am, whatever that happens to be, good or bad, this is what the situation is. And that's the thing I love, is because when I recommend you to my clients, I let them know, and this is something that you probably already know, you're not necessarily popular with every agent in the city.
I am not.
Exactly. And I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
When I'm the listing agent and I see that you're doing the inspection, I'm taking an extra shot that day because I know I'm going to need a little buffer because I know you're going to unearth a lot of things that I'm hoping that you won't, but you do. And so the thing is that although I get a little nervous as a listing agent, when you're representing my buyers, I know that you're going to, I always tell them, guys, it's going to be brutal. You're going to get the information as it is, but I would rather you know the warts up front and deal with them and figure out if you're okay with dealing
with
them. It doesn't mean you don't do the deal. It just means you have an understanding of what you're getting into. And I think that's something that people don't really appreciate. And many agents, they are afraid. They don't want to crash the deal.
Right.
And that's where I feel like it's the difference between being a seasoned agent and being in it for the long haul versus I need the commission on this deal.
Right.
It's like, you know what? If I don't sell them this house, I'll sell them another house that is more right for them, that is the better thing for them. Doesn't mean that it's a bad house. It just means it's not necessarily the right fit for these clients.
Yeah.
And so over the years, because I've been doing it since dirt, I understand the difference between, again, it's not about a quick commission. It's about what is right for the client in the long run.
Oh, bless you. Bless you.
No, I mean, but you—that's that's what you basically to me. That's what you represent, and I feel like it is so unusual to find that, and that's why I feel like it's kind of like lightning in a bottle that we connected that many years ago.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's what it's all about, and not everybody can really appreciate that. They're just you know, looking in the short term, and which I understand, I do, but there is a difference.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
for sure. And you know, you talk about your sellers. I mean, that's one of my greatest compliments is when a seller gets my report. Oh my gosh, I hated you, but guess what? I'm going to
use you on the buy.
On the buy.
I'm sure that happens all the time.
That's my greatest compliment. And I tell people that is,
yes,
you know, and
100%.
You know, and that's where the fair and honest and respect comes in,
right?
Where, you know, hopefully most people can see that, you know, oh, this guy's got a job to do.
Yeah.
And he did it, and he did it to the best of his ability.
Exactly.
He's, you know, he's still human, but he did it to the best of his ability.
Absolutely.
And greatest compliment in my profession, in my opinion.
For sure. No, 100%. Yep. I get that. And like I said, that's why we're still in business together all these years later.
That's
because it's
true.
Just something you have to have an understanding of what the big picture is. And not get so caught up in, you know, this moment about, okay, the rats chewed through all the wiring in the attic. You know what I mean? Because let's face it, that happens.
That happens.
I mean, we've definitely had to talk about that. So I do want to get into, what do you think are the most critical things that buyers need to be looking for when they're buying a home from an inspection standpoint? Like, what are your hot topics, if you will?
When a buyer goes in, and I don't always see this, but I hear this, is, oh my gosh, we were only in there 5 minutes.
Right.
And, you know, the house looks so awesome.
Right.
You know, how can you find all these things?
Yeah.
And that's where we, you know, try to, you know, position them.
Yes.
And
bridge
you
the
know,
gap.
And say, you know, these are the big, what I call the big five.
Okay.
Foundation, roof, plumbing, electrical, HVAC.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love those five things.
Those are your big ticket items. Yes, those fogged windows, if you choose to do something, are going to cost you money.
Yes.
But let's look at the big picture of these things. What's the average house price? $500,000?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So,
sure.
So, you know, a $400 window in the big scheme of things, you know, not so big, you know, on a $500,000 purchase. But those five things can get very, you know, very, very
costly.
Costly very quick.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, trying to focus people in, and especially on older houses, you know, people are buying these older houses and, oh, they love the charm. They're not cookie cutter. And I completely agree, but they come with their own set of inherent issues.
Absolutely.
And again, as long as you, you know about those issues going forward, you can make informed decisions instead of emotional ones.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that you made that distinction, because I feel like there are so many people that are making decisions from an emotional standpoint.
Sure. Curb appeal. Look at the flowers.
Exactly. No, you're 100% right.
But you have to do that.
Yes.
But who cares about the flowers?
Exactly. No, 100%. And so it's so great. I love to be educating people on this, because it is a thing, as you know.
For sure.
There's a difference between the two. And so those five things are so critical. And like you said, are there other things that are important? Yeah, absolutely. You have to look at everything in totality.
Correct.
But you have to focus on those five things. Those things are like critical, and they are like the basis for, to me, the whole house health, the health of the whole house.
Right.
Right. Right.
The home is a system, and all these systems have to work together in conjunction.
Yes.
And when you start getting tunnel vision on one thing, then you cannot see the whole big picture.
Right. 100%. No, I totally agree with you on that. So I'd love to kind of talk about, of all the inspections that you've done, and I can't even imagine, I don't know, I'm sure you track this, but I don't know how many you've done, but what is the craziest stuff that you've ever seen? Because you know, people are like, you know, you've seen some stuff.
Right.
I mean, I want to know, can you talk about it?
Yeah. So I'll never, ever say that I've seen everything, even after 24 years of
doing this. I love it, because I feel the same way.
Because somebody
always
surprises
you. Yes, exactly.
And it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that this is happening.
I know, exactly.
It's like, am I being punked?
Exactly. Is this even real?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's just so many crazy things.
The books we could write.
But, so I'm a very nonviolent person.
I know that.
And so,
opposed to me,
we actually had a transaction, and I don't know if you remember this or not, but it was a very tall athlete house.
Yes, I know. I already know.
And you were the buyer's agent, and they were the seller.
Yeah.
And we did the inspection.
Yep.
And you wrote up the amendment. They said that they fixed everything. We came back to do the reinspection, and there we stood in the kitchen with the very tall athlete's brother.
Yes.
I think this was like Dave's first transaction.
I think you might be right.
Or where he was.
Where he was involved.
He was involved in helping you.
I do agree.
And he
I
actually.
I know exactly which kitchen you're talking about, too.
He actually broke up the almost fight between the brother and me because they said that they fixed everything. And I'm like, you didn't fix that. Look at the picture.
Yeah.
And they swore up and down that it was fixed. And show me. And there's been twice that I've had, and it's both been sellers that I mean, it almost came fist to cuffs.
Yes, yes.
And it's just like.
No, I remember.
All that I can do is just tell you what I'm seeing.
We needed some tequila in that moment.
Oh, my gosh.
No, it was intense.
Dave was probably like, oh, what am I getting into?
Yeah, because he was just starting out.
What am I getting into?
He's like, what is happening here? He had no idea.
Yeah. So, I mean, those are the things that, I mean, they still stick out to me. And I just. I loathe reinspections.
Yeah.
I don't know why 99% of the reinspections we go on, they're not done.
Yeah.
And you had this
That's why you loathe them, because they're not done.
Well, and it gets so tense.
Yes.
Because now your
tempers
you're
are flaring.
Holding this thing up.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not holding this up.
Yeah.
That is.
Exactly.
You said in
I'm
the contract.
I'm just the messenger.
Yeah, you
I'm
said in the contract you were going to fix it.
Yeah.
And
then
you didn't fix it.
I know.
And
I know.
I just don't, I can't, I don't understand it. And even still, after all this time, how does this keep happening over and over and over? It's so frustrating for me because it's wasted everybody's time.
I know.
And money.
I think people just don't, they wish things away. And I wish I was wrong on that, but I think for the most part, I think they see it, but yet they don't want to because it may represent a lot of money, or it may represent even not necessarily a lot of money, but more money than they want to personally spend on something to make it right. So they will try and put a Band-Aid on a bigger problem that is not going to work. And so that's where, you know, And in many ways, sometimes I prefer to have money in lieu of repairs negotiated for those items that you call out.
Hallelujah. No more reinspections?
Right, exactly. Because, because unless it's a lender-required repair, in which case sometimes you have no choice. Right. You have to deal with those lender-required repairs. But for the most part, I prefer to negotiate money in lieu of because of exactly what you're talking about.
Yep.
Because that way the buyer can have it fixed to their satisfaction with the company that they want, with the quality that they want, and they determine what the price is going to be based on what their vendor is charging them, rather than having to live with the seller's Uncle Fred, who decided that he now has an HVAC license that he pulled up from 20 years ago, that he has no idea what he's doing, but he'll get up there and try and patch it to make it hold long enough to hopefully pass muster for 5 seconds. And so to me, those are the dangerous or the slippery slopes that we kind of have to navigate sometimes.
Well, and when, you know, Chuck in a truck comes, you know, they don't have the new buyer doesn't have their name on the receipt. It's the seller's name on the receipt.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
If anything happens, then what are they going to do? Then they're SOL.
Yeah. No.
Absolutely.
Exactly. No. So I totally agree. But over the years, like I said, you have been so great to be able to kind of share not only what the situation with the inspection was, but to advise buyers. And you take into account, and this is true of Derek and Tyler, they both take into account who is the buyer, what is their wherewithal, and what is the big picture, you know, on this thing. And what you tell one buyer is not necessarily what you're going to tell another buyer, but you're basing it off the same facts. It's the same set of information.
Exactly.
But how you advise is very specific to the situation on where they're at in life.
Yep.
Because again, what you're going to tell me versus what you're going to tell, you know, some multimillionaire, you know, is different, because you're going to take into account what do you have available to you, both, you know, financially, but also the time that you have to give to something to make it right. And so I think that that's what makes you special and such a good inspector.
Well,
so,
thank you.
No, yeah. Absolutely. I think that's super important. And so one of the things I did want to talk to you before we wrap up this portion of the podcast is, what do you think homeowners should be doing that you see that they don't do enough of to maintain their home? Because I know that there's several things that you probably see on a regular basis where you're like, oh gosh, you should have been doing this all along and you weren't. And so what are those things?
Yep. So I think the biggest one is, you know, let's face it, we need HVAC, we need air conditioning, and then maybe in the same day, we need
heat. As it's 105 outside,
we
you know?
Need heat the same day during...
I know! When it's 105 and it's also 22 degrees in the same day. Yeah. I mean,
and so, San Antonio. You know, maintaining that HVAC equipment, it's just like your vehicle. You go out every day and turn the key or push the button now, and you expect it to start.
Yeah.
And so if you don't do those things to make sure it's going to start every time, change your oil, change your air filters, you know, we don't do tune-ups much anymore, but you know, all the required maintenance that you need to do, for that vehicle to start every day. Well, that's the same thing with that HVAC system. You think about that thing.
Yeah.
It sometimes never shuts off because it just runs and runs and runs.
So true.
And it's... The systems are so insanely expensive right now that the cheapest thing that you can do is change your air filters regularly.
Yep.
Now, a lot of the times, the newer houses, they have the big high-efficiency filters. They don't need to be changed as much, but they're more expensive, and so it's a trade-off.
Yeah.
You know, change your ceiling filters out. I mean, just change those out and have your system serviced.
How often?
Well, it's going to depend on...
Several factors?
Yeah. I mean, you need to look at them.
Okay,
and,
sure. Okay, visual inspection.
And, you know, take a look at them. Generally, the big cartridge top filters are between 6 and 12 months. Well, that's a long time.
Yes.
Well, if you have a newer house and you're in a construction zone where it's there's a lot of dust...
Yes.
Then
it's gonna
you're
going to
have
changed
to change
more
it,
often.
Right.
Yeah.
If you open your windows during the fall and spring, sometimes winter.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get that dust in.
Yes.
If you're in a older house, it breathes differently than a newer house.
Right.
And so you're going to have to change it. So it really is go up and look at it.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times they're putting these filters now in the attic.
Yeah.
Where you've got to go up in the attic.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking about the single mom again. So, you know, they're going to have to be educated on this thing is up there.
Yeah.
And.
Because a lot of them don't even know it
exists.
Have no
clue.
Right.
Have no clue.
Right. Exactly.
And, you know, they're trying to put these filters in and it's like, well, they don't drop down. Where do I put my filter?
I know.
And so that's what we also try to do is try to educate them. But, but inspection day is a blur, I'm sure, for them. And so
it's
anyway,
a lot. Yeah.
But then servicing that unit.
Yeah.
Have the HVAC companies come out and you need to find somebody that you know, like, and trust.
Yeah.
Because... No offense to any of the big, you know, HVAC companies, but sometimes you get the less than diligent person if you have these service contracts.
Trust me, Airtron. I'm sorry.
Yep.
I had to say that. I'm sorry. Okay.
I didn't say it.
I'm sorry.
But that's true.
Knife in my back.
That's true. And, you know, you could get that 19-year-old kid that's, you know, so they sell these service plans and they say, oh, we're going to come out twice a year and we're going to service your unit and we're going to make sure that everything's good. Well, I cannot tell you how many times I've followed behind and, you know, found out, oh, well, we just had a service, you know, check on everything.
5 minutes ago.
And, you know, that, they'd left yesterday and here's the receipt. And you look at it and it's like, man, everything's good to go. And you go up there and there's
not.
Condensation leaking everywhere, air leaking.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the heck?
What did they actually check?
So, you know, I'm obviously being a small business. I would encourage people to try to find a HVAC company that maybe you could get to know the owner.
Yes.
And
yes.
Maybe that owner, if you had a problem, you could call
personally,
him at 9 o'clock on Friday.
Exactly.
That like Kim has never done ever.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
No, as you know, how many times have I called you or texted you on a holiday, late at night,
vacation,
vacation, all of those things above, because I'm like, Rod, help me. I'm melting.
So
literally.
So funny thing along that. I'm pretty sure I was, on the beach in Mexico and talking to one of our clients that we'd done inspection for that needed to have information.
Yes, understand.
I have no problem sitting in my bally bed talking
thank
to your
God.
Talking to our client.
You've
and,
done it
and
many it, times
explaining,
for me. Yes. And you were always so just, just generous with your time. Yeah. I will say that even when it was not convenient for you, you have been there and have talked many of my clients off the ledge many times, and I appreciate it more than you know.
Yeah. Thank you. But along the maintenance things, it's been dry, right?
Yeah.
And so it's been, 2 years since we really had any great rain? So these foundations are, that soil is shrinking around these foundations. Be mindful of that. Well, now we're getting the weather or the water, and now that soil is going to swell.
Exactly.
And so be mindful of that. And, if that door is sticking, maybe we need to, that doesn't necessarily mean that, the foundation is bad because it's allowed to move.
Exactly. Exactly.
But if you're getting big, huge cracks sideways,
maybe it's
time to get somebody out there before we come in and tell you your foundations, has issues.
No, 100%.
Plumbing, look under your sinks. Don't just stuff towels underneath there. Look underneath there because...
or have a bucket that's been there for 20 years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Speaking of buckets, I did a inspection, $2 million house. Go up in the attic.
They have buckets?
There's a shop vac
in
front of the AC unit. I'm like, probably should have taken that out before I come. Yeah. Oh, another thing before your inspector comes. I see this. They'll take the air filters, the completely dirty air filters, out 5 minutes before I get there, and then they'll set them by the garbage can in the garage. And you got that brand new filter up there, but yet you got that dirty one right there.
The evidence is left behind.
Oh, my gosh, at least put it in the garbage can. I'm not going to open your garbage can.
Don't make this so easy for me to figure out what's going on here.
It's funny.
My gosh, that's kind of amazing. So, one thing I can tell you right now, we're going to have you back on because we barely scratched the surface on the topics that I want to talk about regarding
inspections. I was so nervous about this.
Well, you shouldn't have been. You're amazing. You have so much great information.
That's what Robin told me. She told me this morning. She goes, "You're just going in and talking to Kim." And
exactly.
I'm like, "I know. I just get anxiety about it."
You were great. And like I said, we barely scratched the surface. There's so many more topics I want to talk about. So you are definitely going to be a friend of the podcast.
I'd love
it. We're going to have you back again. And so we are going to start the next segment of the podcast.
Yeah, I'm so excited about
which
this.
Which is woohoo. So you're ready to hear what things I'm going to be asking.
Yeah.
You. So welcome to the feral or fabulous part of the podcast. And I am very anxious to hear how you feel about these topics that I have for
you.
Get your paddle. Okay.
I'm ready.
Okay. And we're two shots in. So we are.
Maybe I'm not.
Well, we can always do a third. That might be a first. I don't know. I'm not sure. Although I think maybe on Renee's episode.
Was the whole bottle?
Well, there was more than two shots involved on Renee's episode, and I think I ended up on the floor. I'm not sure.
Oh, no.
I think there was some evidence of that actually on the cameras. So they've had to, these producers have had to really do a lot of editing for me over the last several months of the podcast. But, it's what makes life fun, and I get such a kick out of it,
Absolutely.
You just never know. You know
never
what?
Know.
Let's do a third shot. Come on. Let's do a third shot.
Game.
Okay. I've got a willing participant. I just need another one. So, okay. We're going to do this live on, if you can hand me your glass, I'm going to talk. Matt, is your mic on? Can you basically kind of help me to.
It is now.
Thank you.
Okay, perfect. Okay. Matt Stigliano, aka Lupus Thunder. He can help us, and he's going to participate with us as well. And we're all going to be doing a third shot. I don't think I can get Katie. Katie's always...
Oh, I love her. I yeah. love her today.
Oh. Oh, God. Okay. I am impressed. Okay. So I need Katie. Katie, I need your glass. Okay.
This is unexpected.
This is totally unexpected and amazing. So I am so excited. This is going to be like epic. And so I love it.
Okay. I apologize and in advance to all the emails I send in the next hour.
Yes, to all the clients this afternoon, they're going to get some very interesting emails from us.
I did not mean to text you that.
Exactly. Who knows what's going to happen? But this is exciting, and I'm so excited because not only is Katie a producer of the podcast, but she is an amazing real estate agent. So we are going to have Katie Rodriguez on the podcast soon, and we're going to talk about all of her amazing capabilities in real estate. So I'm looking forward to that as well. So let's do another toast to the feral or fabulous part of the podcast. We've got Rod Stewartson here with us, Rod Inspects. Cheers, everybody. Cheers. Down Cheers. The hatch. I feel like we're kind of like in the bar, you know, like we'll call it the podcast bar. So and
you need
and
a sign right here that says exactly, Patron.
Exactly. Platinum. Platinum Patron. And it just goes down like butter. It's like, it's so good.
Yeah, I'm a bourbon guy. And so.
Are you? I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
I've got a problem.
Okay.
I've got a pretty good collection. And maybe next time we could talk about that. I could talk about that.
Okay. Well, then I'm so excited. You're a friend of the podcast. We will have you back on and we will talk all things inspections and bourbon.
Bourbon. There you go.
I love that. So, okay, cool. I don't actually have one of those items on my list, but I'm going to hit you with a weird one. Okay. So your first is caramel apples.
Ooh, fabulous.
Okay, cool. Me too.
Yeah.
Love.
Yeah.
And I know it's not everybody's jam, but I love them. And where do you like to get your caramel apples, or do you make them at home?
So I've probably not had a caramel apple in 40 years.
Oh, my God. Okay, then I must get you one.
But I love caramel.
Okay.
And I love apples. I eat an apple every day. And so...
Oh, my gosh.
I like them.
Me too.
I like them.
Me too. I'm a fan. And so I'm going to go get us all some, I think it's called Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory.
Oh, I thought you were going to say oysters.
No. I don't want anything that anxious to get down my throat. I'm sorry. I'm just, but I like I think it's Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory, and they have a partnership with, what's that creamery? Cold Stone Creamery. And so I think that you will find those in combination. I think at the rim, actually, I'm going to give them a little plug. They have the most amazing, like, chocolate covered. They have caramel apples, chocolate covered. They have like s'mores covered apples, like every kind of covering on an apple that you can imagine. They're really big and they'll slice them. Anyway, it's like a little bit of health food and then like the worst crack ever, you know. So anyway, but you know, at least you get you get an apple in. So I'm a fan. I'll have to get you some of those. Uh-huh. So okay, maybe when you and Robin celebrate your next anniversary, it'll have to be chocolate, you know.
There you go.
And good idea. Ultimate Chocolate Factory or whatever it's called. Okay, comic books.
I have to be feral on that one.
Okay, so far we're 2 for 2. I feel the same.
Yeah. I was never
not a fan growing up.
No,
not your thing.
Yeah, I'm older than the kind of the Marvel movie stuff, so I don't really get that.
Me either. And not at all.
And I mean, I did like Richie Rich, and I liked the Mad comics.
Okay.
You know, and I liked the little thing up at the top where you went and you could see the little cartoon.
Oh yeah.
Up at the top of the Mad comics.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I actually forgot about that until you just talked about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I wasn't a frequent.
Yeah, me
frequent
either.
Reader,
me either.
But yeah.
I'm not a comics fan at all, actually, and I don't like cartoons either. So I'm weird. I don't like any animation, you know, not even movies or anything like that.
Yeah.
I'm a weirdo.
No, I get it.
So I understand about comics. So, and interesting. Hunting.
Oh, love it.
Okay. Love it. Okay.
For sure.
Okay. What kind of hunting?
I mean, any kind. I grew up, you know, from Oregon originally, and a lot of wilderness there, a lot of public land. My grandfather, which we went to in Idaho every summer, they had a duck blind out there and on his land, and harvested my first duck out there, and
oh wow,
and geese, and I've
very
hunted,
cool.
Yeah, I've hunted deer and elk, and I'm a big fisherman. And
very cool.
Actually,
are you going fishing today?
No, but a week and a half from today, I'll be in Alaska for 9 days.
Oh my
fishing.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Is Robin going with you, or
nope.
Is this just a guy's
nope.
trip?
Yep, it's a guy's trip.
Okay,
it's,
cool. Wow. I heard fishing in Alaska is amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is abundant.
Okay.
And
what's the weather like?
So,
because I don't like heat. So for me,
thankfully, it's probably 56 degrees.
Oh God, that's like you're talking my language now.
And when it rains there, it's just a steady, constant rain.
Okay.
Not like here.
Okay.
Like a
torrential downpour.
Yeah, you're getting soaked. And so you just have rain gear and you
deal with it.
You just deal with it.
Okay.
And you know, it's not optimum, but we'll be doing river fishing.
Okay.
For salmon, and then
cook what you eat? I mean, or do you eat what you cook? That's the tequila talking.
We do, and there's going to be a lot of catch and release this year.
Okay.
Last year we went, we brought home a lot of salmon and a lot of halibut and actually ling cod. And just over the years, the salmon just isn't doing it for me anymore.
Okay.
I mean, I love the whitefish of halibut and ling cod, but we're there to salmon fish. You just love catching these little silver bullets. They're about like this.
Cool.
And they're just fighters. They're out of the water.
Awesome.
And I mean, it's just a great adventure. But the beauty of it is you can unhook them, give them a little kiss, let them go.
I love it.
And,
that's so cool.
Well, it's how you say thank you, you know?
Yeah, I love that.
They expended that energy for
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. That's impressive. I love that.
You know, I'm not sure that to the salmon a kiss for me is a thank you, but anyway, I feel good about
it. They probably appreciate it.
I feel good about
all
it.
All the well. No. That's awesome. Okay. Ring cameras.
I'm saying fabulous.
Really?
Well, all right.
Okay.
Now, well, let me, as I think, I have a Ring camera at
Do
my
you?
House,
okay.
and I love it.
Okay. Okay.
So let's talk about
I get that.
Inspections.
Yeah. That's why.
You're on camera.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, you've got to be careful in today's. I mean, we're not doing anything nefarious.
No,
obviously,
I know that. Absolutely.
But things can be construed as that. I'll give you a little story. So during COVID.
Love it.
It was horrible, right? Everybody was.
Freaked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm doing this inspection, and nobody was in the house. It was an occupied home. I'm doing this inspection, and I get this call from the listing agent.
Okay.
And she says, "You're not wearing your mask or your gloves."
Okay.
In the house.
I know where you're going with this.
While you're doing the inspection.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "There's nobody here."
Yeah.
And so it was during the summer. What happens when you wear the latex gloves during the summer? You sweat.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you put your hand like this, what happens to your
allergic.
Sweat?
I'm allergic. My hands would have swollen up.
All
to
that
be...
sweat and DNA is running down onto the countertop.
Oh, yeah.
And it's even worse
it's
than
worse.
If I didn't have it.
Yes.
But they were so freaked out that I wasn't wearing gloves and a mask in their home. And so...
Yeah.
I wore gloves and a mask in their home. And so anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
But so for that reason, and also I think, you know, you probably know this, but maybe some younger agents or less experienced, when you're outside the house and you're talking about, strategies and let's offer this and offer this.
Yeah.
Guess what? You're probably on that Ring camera.
Yes.
And you may not even know it. And now you've given away your technical advantage.
That's such a great point.
Yeah.
Such a great point. Yeah, I will tell you, I do think they have a place in the world. Ring cameras are definitely helpful. I'm not going to.
I love mine at home.
Yeah, no, I get that. I totally get that. But I am so, for whatever reason, anti-cameras in general. Mm. I just feel like these days, I thank God that back in the day when I was younger, all the stuff that I did not on camera because whether it's a Ring camera, a phone camera, whatever camera you're talking about, we just got to live life and we all have those fun memories of living life. But there's no evidence of it. But to have that evidence, and I feel like the evidence gets used against people all the time. And I'm not saying sometimes it doesn't make sense for that evidence to be used against somebody. It needs to be. I understand that. But I guess there's a part of me that just appreciates life being lived in the moment without having to literally have every little detail captured and played back for years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for me, I'm a little Mas Menos on the whole Ring camera thing. Dave, my husband, he loves Ring cameras. He loves cameras. He loves all that. I'm just a little old. I'm older than him. So I just, I appreciate being able to live life a little less out of the eye of the camera, especially if you're drinking a lot of tequila.
I understand.
Which, of course, this will be commemorated.
Yeah, here we are putting it out there forever.
Exactly. So I'm just violating every principle I've got. So, So self-checkout.
Yeah, I'm fabulous on that.
Okay.
I mean, I don't go to HEB very often.
Okay.
But when I do,
okay,
I usually have 15 items or less.
Okay.
And so,
so you like the self checkout?
Yeah, it's good to go in and
put the card in. You can control your own pace.
Yep, we're out the door, and you hit the outside door, and the guy wants to see your receipt, and it's like, what? Why do you want to see my receipt?
I know. I just checked out. So, I'm not a fan of self checkout just because I just think I'm always so nervous that I'm not going to intend to miss something, but I feel like I'm just kind of like the mad professor that I'm just trying to check out everything and, oh my God, did I forget something? And then I get like nervous that I've missed something that I didn't mean to miss, And so
not scan it?
Yeah. Because I don't know. You know what I mean? Right. I just feel like it's just like,
because that guy at the door is going to get you for that one item.
But I don't want it. I don't want to not pay. You know what I mean? Sure. So it's not like my intent is to not pay. Exactly.
Right.
I'd rather somebody else be responsible for the whole order because it's like, maybe I've had tequila. I don't know. So I just want to make sure that somebody else is checking my work, So anyway.
Understand.
I'm not saying I haven't ever used self-checkout, but I prefer it to be somebody else's responsibility. So.
Understand.
Anyway. Okay. So last one.
Okay.
Stanley Cups. I know. I want your opinion on this.
I'm going to have to go feral on that.
That's okay. That's okay.
I don't, it's not that maybe I'd be in between.
Okay.
If I can be in between.
A half paddle. Yeah. Okay. You can.
That's a thing. My wife, Robin, has one and she loves it. I need to drink more water. But I have a gallon jug and I drink out of that. And so,
do tell. I want to know.
I guess it's, at first it was the Yetis.
Yeah, right? Of course.
That was the first.
That was the OG.
Right. And so then we progressed to, now we have handles on them.
Yeah.
And you could actually put handles on the Yeti. And then we moved to these and it was a big thing. And, everybody had to have a Stanley or you weren't cool.
Right.
And so, I don't even know. Are they insulated? Do they keep it cold?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Yeah, they do. They do. And the thing is,
that's valid.
And for me, and I'll tell you how I graduated to a Stanley is because during COVID, and we talked a little bit about this, I actually got my first kidney stone.
Oh, been there, done that.
Okay.
Twice.
And here's what happened. I got the kidney stone. They determined that because as an agent, we had to glove up. We had to, you were never allowed to use the facilities in a property. They shut the water off many times. They're like, you are not using our restroom. You are just, we don't want you touching anything with, you had to have gloves, mask, the whole thing, right? So what happened is I quit hydrating.
Mm-hmm.
And so because I was so worried that, I would then need to, I hate to say that, but I did, but I couldn't.
Right.
And so then I'm like, okay, this is miserable. I had no options, so I wouldn't drink water.
Right.
So I got my first kidney stone ever in 2020, in the fall of 2020, and I had it for 4 months before I passed it.
Yeah.
It was the most horrific experience. I mean, like, I would have a fourth baby before I would have another kidney stone, and I'm not kidding you.
I've got a story about that.
Okay, so it was that bad. You appreciate that. So anyway, what I did was I switched to a Stanley because it can hold a lot. It keeps it cool.
Got it.
And that way, if I have it around, I will be trying to constantly hydrate because I don't ever want to have another kidney stone. And I actually have one right now. I have my second kidney stone. Mm. So I have been neglectful on staying hydrated. Yep. And so now I've tried to get better about that.
Yep. Yep. And what people don't realize is when, you know, we come into their house, that's actually our office for whatever time we're there.
Right.
And, you know, total 100% respect, that's their home, but that's our office.
Yes.
And
you have situations.
Yeah, there are situations that happen in our offices.
Exactly.
And so, you know, that's, you know, hopefully people would be a little more sympathetic. But,
exactly.
But we know that those people exist.
So. Exactly. No. Amen. Yeah. Well, you have been a delight to have on the podcast. This has been so awesome.
Thank you for having me.
We are going to look forward to having you back on as a friend of the podcast.
No,
and so we have several topics for the next podcast.
Maybe I'll bring a bourbon next time. You don't like brown water.
Gosh, you're right. I do not like brown water. I'm so glad. That's amazing that you even know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I can only drink.
I've known Kimberly Howe a long time.
You do. You absolutely do.
To know that
do.
You don't like brown water.
I don't. I can't drink it. And so I have to have clear, you know, if it's alcohol, it's got to be clear. Mm-hmm. So I'm unfortunately kind of picky about that. But
understand.
I will watch you drink bourbon. And I bet these guys might join you as well. So I'm looking forward to it. So
sounds good. I got two bottles in the car right now.
Woohoo! Awesome. Well, that sounds amazing. So we'll have to reschedule that next podcast right away.
Yeah,
so,
there you go.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being
on. Thank you for having me.
And
it's been a
thank
pleasure.
You guys. No, thank you guys for joining us for our most recent episode of Feral and Fabulous. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Keep on keeping on. Bye.